Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is James Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and sitting over there is my new friend, the AAA affiliate of the Astros. He's playing baseball. His name is Cowboy Joe. And he's lighting it up in AAA right now. He's batting 400 plus. I kid you not, folks. 400 plus.
Yeah.
Cowboy Joe, ladies and gentlemen. Tommy sitting over there. What's up, man?
It's actually double A. Have you even made it to triple A yet?
So, two things on that. I believe it was actually Joe Cowboy was what they keep calling you.
Yeah.
But that's not dude's last name.
Nope. So, you saw his last name, right?
Right.
I have a story behind that. So to get everybody caught up here, I put a little bit of me playing MLB The Show up on YouTube for Jamie, and apparently he found it. This is me finding out that you have seen it at this point. We haven't discussed this at all. But my character's name is Joe Strife, and I've since playing.
I got that. I got the Strife thing.
Every character that I've had in an MLB game since, goodness, like maybe before we started, right around when we started doing this show, while I was in college, like playing, I don't even remember what it was called back then, whatever MLB The Show, like that old game, like whoever used to make that game before it was Sony exclusive, and maybe even was Sony exclusive back then, whatever it was, I had it way back in the day of like, you know, MLB 2005 or whatever it was. And so my character on there was Cloud Strife. And so I've just always had different iterations of something Strife in my MLB game since then. So this one is Joe Strife. And I made his nickname Cowboy, and I have no idea why. But it is entertaining. Cowboy Joe.
Actually, it does. It says Cowboy Joe every time you step to the plate. And I'm like, wow.
But I am dominating, getting 417, I think, right now in double A. I'm just waiting for that call-up. I'm like, come on, guys. They still have me batting like seventh in the lineup. I'm like, come on. I have like 13 homers at this point. We're like a month into the season. I'm just, yeah. Anyway.
Can I just mention to you that all of that may be true, but from what I saw, you're not the hottest second baseman that ever lived, and you seem to be really working on that launch angle thing. You don't care what it is, you're going to take it out of the park, baby.
Yeah, I'm a 2019 prospect. It's either, you know, strikeout or homer. That's how baseball is played these days. And so, yeah, they've moved me to center field at this point. And so I'm not even playing second base anymore. They're like, let's try you out here, man. Like, whatever. I'm worse in center field than I was at second base. It's hard to get a jump on those balls. So,
well,
anyway,
a couple of things about that, because I was vastly entertained by Cowboy Joe.
Yes.
first, I love the whole presentation thing. And you didn't show me a lot of the presentation thing, but I got enough. I love the presentation thing. I love the look. It looks like you're in AA. Like, the field looks like you're in AA. The announcers are cheesy like you're in AA. Like, it looks like you're in AA. And the way they have it set up, like, you could get lost in the stats, in the building. There's even an option, you did it a couple times, and it kind of pissed me off because I just wanted to watch the game. But there's some sort of manager option where you can just skip all innings.
Yeah.
And see what happens. And so, like, I'm watching you go through this thing, and it's like, walk, single, walk. And I go, well, what is he doing? But you're playing in manager mode. So yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, and it's just because all I care about is my at-bats. I don't want to sit around and watch everybody else's at-bats. And so it's just a way to get – like, if you're just playing one game, that's fun. But I'm trying to, like, get to the big leagues here. To, you know, I don't have time to wait around for everybody else doing their thing.
Yeah,
anyway.
You know, I was thinking that all the time. I'm like, yeah, this is Tommy trying to squeeze a game into 20 minutes.
Yes.
Like, that's what this is.
Exactly what it is. So I'll mention a few things here too, because if you haven't noticed already, there's some differences with my audio, I would imagine. We'll see what it sounds like. But first of all, I'm just a little sick, and so my voice, you thought I was dying when we first started talking, so I'm aware of my voice. The little girl got sick, and so then everybody gets sick, which is just what happens about like every month now. It's just the life of having a little girl. So that happened. And then I'm traveling. And so I got up super early this morning, got on an airplane. And so I'm not at home. And so I'm on a cheap microphone and I'm in literally a dorm room. And so concrete floors, drywall, the acoustics in this room are miserably bad. So all of that brings you what you're hearing right now, which is hopefully somewhat tolerable. And we're here. That's the big thing, right? We're doing a show. That's exciting.
Can I mention to you that this is exactly where you would be if you were playing in AA?
Yes.
I'm just saying, this is the exact spot that you'd be in if you were playing in AA. So I think it's appropriate.
It works out. And darn happy that the World Series starts tomorrow. Pretty pumped about that. That was a game. That game six was fun.
Yes, it was. And I thought it was interesting. The second that it was over, you were just gone. Like, you were, like, I'm watching the game. Like, we're texting back and forth. And I was slightly behind you, and you said what you said, and I said, like, two more things, and I'm like, man, he just left. Like, yeah. He's bad. He's doing the – I don't – what happened?
So this is the thing about, again, having a little girl. I go to sleep as early as I can because she still wakes up really often in the night, and so sleep is a commodity that we don't have enough of in our house. And so, like, baseball playoffs, especially with the Astros in there where I'm going to watch every game, keep me up later than I'm usually up. And so it was like, okay, game's over, hit the bed. You know, like, it was as quickly as possible to try to get sleep going. And this was in the middle of her being sick, and so it didn't work out anyway. I ended up staying up half the night. But that was the plan.
See, this right here, that's exactly why I ask you the two questions that I ask you. Well, number one being, is she still up? You know,
right.
That because I knew she was still up.
Yeah,
and dude just leaves. He just like goes to bed. Like, I'm out. See ya.
Yeah. But we made it, and now we've got more games to come. At least four more games in the next week or so. And so I'm pumped. I'm excited about it. But That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about video games, and so we should probably, to be fair, we have been talking about video games. It's a video game for the most part, and so MLB The Show is really good, and it's still available for no extra cost. I always hate saying for free on PlayStation Plus because it's not actually for free. You're paying for it. But available for no added cost if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber. And you, if you like baseball at all, I mean, why not? And even if you don't like baseball, it's why not? If you're paying for it, like, go pick it up. Have some fun with it. So, yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying that.
It may not be free, but it's really freaking cheap.
It is, and it's, yeah, again, PlayStation Plus is a no-brainer to me at this point, and this month was a killer month with that and The Last of Us, and so, yeah, a big one. So, all that being said, we do have newsy stuff to talk about. We're going to circle back around here in just a little bit. I'll mention this as a bit of a tease to our roundtable discussion. So, assuming you've listened to the roundtable at this point, we had a good and spirited conversation over there about Blizzard and China stuff, and so we'll hit that some more here in a bit. We've also got PlayStation 5 news and a handful of other things. We'll see how far we get at this point. It's a weird show, and so it's just going to be strange, and we'll see what we get to. But hey, all that said, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I give you props for pulling it out. Like, I was so excited when you texted me this afternoon. You were like, show, and I'm like, really? Like, yeah. Seriously, baby? So yeah, I'm glad to be here.
This is literally traveling the window of time just kind of presented itself because I don't have any dad duties right now, you know, like it actually just gave me a chunk of free time, and that's not something that I ever have in my life. And so you were my first thought on chunk of free time, and tonight was the one night it was going to happen, because tomorrow night I'm flying tomorrow night, and so I'm in Memphis right now. I'm flying to Chicago tomorrow, and so I'll be in Chicago on Wednesday, but tomorrow night and Wednesday night there's World Series games, and so if we were going to do it, we were going to do it tonight. So
yeah,
that was the catalyst to make it happen. So here we are.
Here we are, and I gotta be honest with you, there are World Series games tomorrow, and we are like 2 days away from the Outer Worlds, and I'm really seriously considering just taking a week off, you know?
That seems fair.
Because World Series and Outer Worlds, huge, huge video game, I'm really considering taking the week off. I'm not going to do it. I'm just talking crap, but I've been thinking about it all day. I'm like, hey, it's just money. I don't need that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Money.
Big week. Big week.
Yes. Yeah, I'm pretty pumped about Outer Worlds, too. That's going to be great. I don't know when I'm going to get time to play it, but... yeah, and it's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, I feel like it's the first one in the avalanche is about to hit of massive games coming out for the next 6 months or so. And yeah, I still got to finish Spider-Man.
Well, okay, look, here's my thing. Here's how I'm going to get myself to work in the morning. I'm going to tell myself I have to go to work because at some point, you and I are going to take a 2 week stretch where we just take off of everything and all we do is play all the crap that's coming out.
Yeah.
I don't think that's actually going to happen in reality, but that's how I'm going to get myself to work in the morning.
I think it's a good rationale. That is a good way to convince yourself, if nothing else. So,
yeah.
We'll cross our fingers and hope that. I just, man, we got to play some games. There's just way too much coming. It's a good time to be a gamer. We say that all the time. I feel like we've said that the entirety of us doing this podcast, but I feel like it just continues to get better. And so it's still a good time to be a gamer. At some point, it may end, but it has not ended yet.
Just one more thing before we jump into the news, which we should have done 10 minutes ago. But that is exactly why I sent you the link that I sent you the other day for M2 Solid States. Uh-huh. It occurs to me that I have two M2 slots on the board, and it's time for some more space because I need more game space.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm going to tell myself about Christmas when I'm going, should I buy this or not? And that little voice in my brain goes, yes, because these games aren't going to be cheap space-wise.
Yeah. No, that's 100% fair. So, all that said, before we get to the news, just really quick, shout out to the Patreon guys, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, and Brigham. Thank you guys as always. If you want to, support us on Patreon, you can do that. Go by gaminguncensored.com and click on the become a patron link. If you want to join us for the round table, which I'm not sure anybody ever is going to want to after the last round table, but if you want to be a part of that, that fun, we would love to have you there too, and you can find details about that over at the Patreon.
I honestly thought there was going to be one. Like, I thought somebody was going to get stabbed.
Yeah,
it was rough.
It was fun. It was a good conversation, and we're going to circle back around to it here in a little bit because we have some more that we want to add to it. But before that, should we get to other news?
Yes, absolutely.
So our first story, it just feels like it should be the first story because it's a big story, but it's not because we already know all this. There's a few new details in here, so that's exciting that we get a few new details that I think are actually pretty fun. But the rest of it's stuff that we already assumed. And so the news is the PlayStation 5 is coming. Okay, obviously. And that the name is PlayStation 5. That's now confirmed. It's not just what we're calling it because that's what it makes sense to call it. Sony is nice and predictable, and honestly, I don't hate that at all. I'm perfectly fine with the PlayStation 5. So that's the official name, and the official launch window is holiday 2020, which again, not remotely a surprise, what everybody expected. But now it's official from Sony. The PlayStation 5 will be launching holiday 2020 right alongside with the Xbox Scarlet, whatever that name ends up being. And so the next generation of consoles is essentially a year away at this point.
I want to be really excited, but I think we already knew this.
Yes. Right?
Like, I want to be like, woohoo! But it's like totally expected. So
yeah.
In the words of my good friend Bill Belichick, who I totally forgot they're playing right now on the Cincinnati.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. And can I even say beyond that, like, even if like we didn't already know all this stuff, like this console generation rollout just feels different because I think this console generation just feels different. Like it for the first time to me really feels like neither Microsoft nor Sony, and especially not Nintendo right now, because who knows what the crap they're doing. But we know Microsoft and Sony have these new consoles coming, but neither one of them are like coming hard, you know, like neither one of them are like putting out like the console hype like we're used to the console hype. Like neither one of these consoles at this point feels like it's going to be something that we have to have, because they're also pushing, you know, cloud gaming and subscription services, and there's just the way that we consume games, and we knew this was coming and we're finally getting there, like this is becoming reality, is changing. Like it's turning into a much more service-based industry than a commodity-based industry. And so it was going to happen, and it is happening. And in that, because it is happening, consoles feel like they don't have the value that they used to. Now, that's not to say that these consoles won't be valuable, and we're going to have one or both of these at some point. I don't know that we're going to need them on launch day. I don't know that the benefits of these consoles are going to be enough to kind of justify. And we know that the big games right now that are slated to be coming, for the most part next year at least, are going to be on the current generation of hardware. There's nothing like right now on the horizon that's like, maybe Halo for Microsoft is really the only game that you're looking forward and going, I have to have that. And that's maybe only going to be available on a new console, but I think they've even said with Halo that it's going to come to the Xbox One, and so I don't think that's even true. And so what has driven new consoles in the past doesn't seem to be driving these new consoles, and so in that way, like, it is big news that it's happening, but I feel like it's like, I feel like the Xbox Scarlet and the PlayStation 5 are going to feel a lot more like the next you know, Xbox One X and the next PlayStation 4 Pro or whatever it's called. You know, like, it feels like the next upgrade of what the current hardware is as opposed to new hardware.
And to be honest, I think they're both going to be in the same space that they are in this year, at least for a while. And I think they know that. The Switch is doing what the Switch does, and Sony's going to continue to be great, and Microsoft's going to figure it out. And I don't think that's going to change. And I think that's part of it. I don't know if it's about the hardware like you're saying. I don't know that it's about the service part of it. I don't know any of that. What I do know is I don't have to have either one, like you said.
Yeah. And that feels different in a lot of ways. Now, if you remember back, we've told this story many times, at the very beginning of us doing this show was right when the Xbox 360 was coming out. And we said very, very similar things about the Xbox 360 on the radio at the time, and just said, it doesn't really seem like this is something that we have to have, and on and on. And then we went, you and I together, went to a GameStop and played that stupid King Kong game on the Xbox 360. But in that moment of getting our hands on it, we went, oh, this thing's pretty great. Like, we really need to have one of these things. And sure enough, we did, you know, and then the Xbox 360 was fantastic, just a great, great console. And so it could be one of those things again, where we're going, nah, we don't need it. Now we don't need it. And then we go, like, actually get our hands on it at some point next Christmas and go, oh crap, like, we've got to get this thing, 'cause this is a big deal. I don't see that now, but I didn't see it then either. So maybe they change our mind.
You know what the other side of it is? And I hadn't thought of this till just now. But for the first time in our lives, it's not going to be a question of which one is better, because the show, not you and I, the show has enough money to do whatever it is that we want to do. Thank you, Duff.
Yes.
And Patreon. Like, for the first time in our lives, we've got enough cash that if we need a 2080, or if we need this, or if we need that, like, we can just go get it.
Yeah.
And so it's not like in previous generations where we just, where we're trying to figure it out, like, which one are we going to put our money down on? Because at the end of the day, we're probably going to have all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, at least we have the ability to, which is great. And like you said, thank you, Patreon guys. That's a fantastic place to be. The question then becomes not can we get it, but do we need it? You know, and that's what we're going to have to wait to see. Now, the little bit of news that is, I think, relevant from this is some updates about the controller that Sony is talking about. And so, first of all, no big massive changes to the controller. Like, they haven't shown what, like, the PlayStation 5 controller is going to be, but they're talking about it in terms of, you know, what we're used to with the DualShock kind of controller with a few, at least, fairly significant changes if you're not redesigning the whole controller. And the first is that it's moving away from the traditional vibrational feedback system to a haptic feedback system. And the idea being there that you can really customize what kind of physical feedback the controller gives you. So instead of it being like, does it shake a little bit or does it shake a lot, you know, which is kind of the options that you have right now, that it'll be a lot more nuanced ways that you can utilize that physical feedback, that tactile feedback that you get from the controller. So that's cool. And the other thing, this is the one that kind of blew my mind that I think is really cool. This is what they're calling adaptive triggers. And so what they're doing is they're building in a way that developers can add resistance to the triggers on the controller, so that, like, the example they give in this blog posting from Sony is that you could have it so that you get a different tactile sensation on the trigger, say when you're drawing a bow, and so that it would physically give you resistance that would feel different for, you know, using a bow and arrow versus using like a gun, you know. So if you're playing Far Cry, let's say a game where you have both a bow and arrow and a gun pretty regularly, like depending on which one of those that you have equipped, the trigger is going to feel different. Like it's going to be a different type of resistance. And that's just another way that it gives you a little bit of a physical response to what you're doing in the game, which sounds really cool. Like, I actually really like the idea of that. I'm a big proponent of basically keep the controllers as they are, because I like playing games with controllers as they are. We've talked about this a ton in the past. But this seems like a change that's like, okay, you're not doing anything radically different, but that's something that I could see actually being fun to play with. That could make a difference in a game and in how immersive it feels.
But then the question is, well, who are the five developers out there that are going to be smart enough to use it? No offense to the other, you know, 150 that are out there, but that's normally the way that it works. When you have a new feature like this, you got like five people that use it really, really well, and then everybody else is like, yeah, we don't know what to do. So we
at least at first, and then it kind of,
yeah,
catches on after a while. But it's, you know, like if Naughty Dog does it, you know, like if the, you know, the PlayStation 5 version of The Last of Us Part 2 uses it, which you can't imagine it not, you know, like a first party developer like that, like that's who I care about using it, you know, like that's where I want to see it implemented, at least to start with, or the next God of War game or whatever it is. And so something that's coming out PlayStation exclusive that's going to really utilize that, if they can show it being a really cool feature, I think, you know, then it catches on. Is it going to be a big deal in Call of Duty or whatever? Or, I mean, honestly, do they also do it on the Xbox? Which I would imagine why not, you know? If it's both on the Xbox and the PS5, then, it's going to be on everything. You know, Call of Duty is going to use it, and so separate guns have separate trigger feels and whatever, like, that sounds cool. And I don't know if it has like haptic feedback itself, if the triggers will, if they'll like rebound a little bit, but that could be cool too, especially for shooters. And I don't know. It's a little thing, because honestly, there's not big things you can do without being totally disruptive, and which neither Sony or Microsoft want to be totally disruptive. Nintendo's kind of got the market on being disruptive in the gaming world. Like, Sony and Microsoft want to continue to do what works, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
You know what's amazing to me, and I got into this last week with an 18-year-old kid at work. I was talking about the PlayStation and how great it was, and he looked me right in the face, and he's like, dude, PlayStation sucks. And I'm going, what was that? Like, I was speechless. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Like, what are you talking about? And yeah. I got to thinking, I'm like, this is one of those kids that grew up with the Xbox being the thing. And all of his friends, they play multiplayer on it. They were the squeakers on Halo. And they were the squeakers on everything else. And that's just what he knows.
Yeah.
And never mind the fact that, you know, he's playing Minecraft 6 hours a day. I mean, that's just the way it is. So my point being is I can't believe in this day and age, but we still have people that are loyal to a particular console, and it's not how you're going to differentiate yourself anymore. It's what little thing are you going to do that adds something to the experience that we already have.
Yeah. And because, what games you got. I mean, that's really it. That's the distinguishing thing at this point between, Microsoft and Sony, is like, what first party titles do you have? We've talked about that a lot. The reason that neither one of us at this point has an Xbox One is we just haven't felt compelled to buy one with any of the titles they have. The games we want to play are on PC, you know, or PlayStation 4. And so you don't need one. Other people would disagree because they want those games that are exclusive. But yeah, that's what it comes down to. And what we've seen happen is that there's fewer and fewer of those games, and that's what we're going to see happen going forward as well. There's going to be a point where all of these companies become primarily content makers. You know, like, we're just about done with hardware. Like, obviously, this wasn't the last generation. We talked about this being possibly the last generation. It's not. Sony and Microsoft both putting out new hardware coming up soon. But that could be the last generation. If not, maybe one more. You know, but we're close. That's the thing, is that hardware is about to not be a barrier. Hardware is not about to be the thing that you have to spend money on. Like, I mean, who buys a DVD player at this point? You know, like, it's gone away in the movie world, essentially. That some people do. I know some people still have, you know, their Blu-ray collection or whatever. But that's becoming more and more rare, and the same thing's going to happen to gaming. And for crying out loud, I bought Spider-Man on disc, so I have bought a disc game relatively recently. But almost every game I've bought in the past several years, honestly, just a few have been on a disc. Almost everything's already been downloads, you know, and getting into streaming stuff, which is going to transition right into our next story, where we're going. Like, it's just going away. Like, so eventually they're just going to become content, you know, publishers, and that's going to get us to an interesting place, you know, of, you know, Xbox being a platform and not being hardware, and PlayStation being a platform and not being hardware. And then where do they figure out maybe Halo needs to be on the PlayStation platform? For crying out loud, Mario is on the Apple platform at this point. And that felt really weird for a little bit. One of the stories, I'll just go ahead and ruin it because we probably won't get to it. One of the stories in the show notes today is that you can buy an Xbox controller on the Apple store right now. Like, that seems really weird, but then again, it doesn't. Like, the Xbox controller is the best controller on the market. Like, it's a fantastic controller. Apple wants to do more gaming stuff. Like, if you're going to game, like, Apple doesn't need their own controller. They can sell Microsoft's controller. It's just really weird to see a Microsoft product being sold on Apple's proprietary store. Like, it's strange, but it also makes sense. And that's kind of the world that we're getting into, that there's just less and less separation between these companies.
So I'm about to out myself here, because everybody's streaming, everybody's got Netflix, you got Hulu at the house, you got a Fire Stick. That's how you do everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm realizing about streaming video? In that whenever, okay, so you and I both like TV a lot, and we have significantly less time than we used to have. And I missed an episode or two of Fear the Walking Dead, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, they just didn't get recorded on my DVR. So here I am, Jamie Jordan admitting it freely. I went and I downloaded two episodes of Fear the Walking Dead, right? And because I did that, I went and I got the highest quality videos that I could get. And I realized something. And I don't think this is something that a lot of people realize. Those videos that I got looks way better than what's even on my TV. You know why? Because they were in full 1080p with 5.1. Like, everybody talks about Netflix streaming and Amazon streaming and all of that. You know what I'm realizing? Most of that, even with a good internet connection, is 720p. You're going to get 5.1, but most of it is 720 at this point. Because they're trying to work with people like me that have got slower internet connections, and everything needs to work. And what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is there's a huge discrepancy in video quality between a 720p stream and a true 1080p stream. There's not a lot of those out there. So my point with all of this is, at some point in the gaming realm, it's going to be about where's the quality. Because, yeah, you're right. This is where we're going. Everything's going to be streaming. But who gives it to you the best?
Kind of. But to kind of counterbutt your point there, like, where are people getting their content, video content right now? Who gives it to them the best, or who gives it to them most conveniently, right?
Like, or the cheapest.
Or the cheapest. Right. Yeah. Both of those things together. But I watch everything streaming. Like, we don't have any kind of non-streaming service at this point. We've been wire cutters for quite a while in that sense. And I know that, like, it could be better quality. But honestly, you know where I watch the most TV at this point? On my iPad. I watch more TV on my iPad than I do anywhere else. Because, you know, I can have it sitting right next to me. I can move it around when I'm doing stuff around the house or whatever. We watch TV on the TV still some, but we have a fine TV. It's a 1080p TV, but we've had it for 10 years. Like, it's, you know, it's not cutting edge by any means. And so, like it kind of is what it is. I'm fine with that. And it's kind of, you know, looking forward to, like, the PlayStation 5. Like, ray tracing sounds super cool, and 4K, yeah, that's awesome. I don't have a 4K screen, though, you know, and so I don't really need, I'm not compelled to go buy a 4K TV for gaming. Like, I'm sure it would look better, and I don't have any problem with that. If somebody drops a 4K TV on my front porch, I'll be thrilled about it. But I have I have bigger priorities where I'm spending my money. We're at this point that it feels like it's also diminishing returns, right? Like, what you have to pay extra to get that qualitative step up isn't justified with the qualitative step up, because everything looks already really, really fantastic. You know, like, games look really good on my 1080p TV. Like, they'll look better on a 4K TV. They'll look better with ray tracing, but will they look enough better that it makes me need to buy a, you know, new console or a new screen or whatever? I'm not convinced yet. I just, like, especially with all these streaming services, if we're moving more towards, you know, playing on an iPad, you know, like, okay, I need a 4K iPad then, but I don't need a 4K TV necessarily. And so, yeah, it's a different world. I'll mention just really quickly, just to throw this in here, because we're kind of on this topic. Anyway, the next couple of stories are about Stadia, which is the first of many, not even the first. There's already out there, but obviously the next big one of the streaming game services has an official release date, which is November 19th. And Google's making some crazy claims at this point about how they think it'll actually perform better than consoles within just a few years, that they have the tech to, they have, like, what they're calling negative latency, which is kind of fascinating how they're trying to do it. It gets into the kind of a little bit of the techie details if you go by the show notes of doing these crazy, like, accelerations of frame rates and trying to predict latency so that you can just weird stuff. And we'll see, you know, what they do at that point. But it's where we're going, you know. Like, again, it's not a secret that's the direction we're heading. We'll be there fairly soon, and Stadia is going to be a big part of that. Xstream is going to be a big part of that. We've seen Sam over at the Facebook showing off being a part of the testing there, and apparently it works. Still has its issues, and that's no surprise. But it's the future. It's what gaming is going to look like over the next 5 or 10 years.
And I'm going to try real hard to not be the get off my lawn guy. because I gotta be honest. Like, I know you. I know how busy your life is. And I know that everything you just said is true fact. I know that you watch a lot of TV on your iPad. And every time you say that out loud, I cringe just a little bit. Like, I cannot imagine doing that on a regular basis. I can't. And I think it's that I'm enough older. I have no interest in looking at an iPad to watch TV. I just don't. And I realize that yours is, this is where you are in life. And you have a little girl that's everywhere. And screen time is still a thing, and you know, you can't have the TV on all the time, so I get it. I just, every time you say that, I die a little bit, because I'm like, we're going to get to the point where nobody really cares what it looks like, as long as they can get it everywhere.
Yeah. And I hear you 100% there. and you know, even in myself, can feel the cringeworthy nature of that. Like internally, especially, like, you know, we always refer to our younger selves in these conversations. My younger self is like, come on, man, you know, like, big TV, you know, but the truth is convenience wins out for me more often than not. And I honestly think that that's more people. I feel like it. And it may be slightly an age thing as well, because you are a little bit older than I am, not a ton older than I am, but it does feel, at least to me, from my perspective, it does feel like you're in the minority on that. Like the trends are going opposite of that direction, and you're just going to be the get off my lawn guy for a while.
Well, and I understand everything that you're saying from a convenience standpoint. I just don't really see myself doing that.
Sure.
A lot in the same way, I hate to trash on the three guys or four guys that I work with all the time, but there's a couple of those guys that literally all they watch is YouTube. Like, yeah. They go home and they watch, and every time they say that, I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Like, you need to get out. You need to go get a life. You need to go do something. All you do is go home and watch YouTube. And I think it's that similar kind of a thing. I can't imagine that. I think you're a lot in the same space there. We use YouTube when we need to know something. It's not, at least for me, I'm not going to speak for you, it's not where we go to routinely consume content that we're not trying to figure out.
Yes. I go to YouTube and search for things. I don't browse YouTube, right? And that's, I think, a generational difference for sure. Because you and I, this is where we're older now, than both of us are older than a lot of people that are listening to the show. We didn't grow up with YouTube. Like, YouTube wasn't a thing when we were young. Like, YouTube has come about in our, you know, adulthood. And this is like, we are different enough in age that I consider myself at the very end, you know, very old millennial, and you're kind of a young Gen whatever, Gen X.
Yeah.
And so, like, we're just like right on the edges of those generational changes. I grew up with technology. I grew up with the internet. The internet, you know, when I was very young, we didn't have the internet. But from, you know, my, you know, early teens, even a little bit before my teenage years, the internet was a part of my life. And so that's been there. But so many things that are now common on the internet, YouTube and social media and that kind of stuff, weren't things at the beginning of kind of the ubiquitous internet. And so, like, I feel like even in the scope of, like, millennials being the always on generation, like, there's also, you know, there's different gradients of that, of people who have grown up with YouTube. And there's, like, the YouTube millennials or the Facebook millennials that, you know, whatever. Or even now, like, the now current Gen Z or whatever, you know, like, the current group is, like they don't even use Facebook, you know, like Facebook is like what their parents use kind of thing. And so it's just, it's bizarre. So anyway, we need to move off this topic just so we can at least get in this one more topic
yeah.
to talk about Blizzard really quick. And so we'll be coming back to this, I'm sure, because we're old and curmudgeon-y, and so it'll come back over.
Yes.
So really quickly, let's jump back into the Blizzard discussion, though. And so I'll mention a few things here on the news side of things, and then we can kind of pick up our conversation where we left it from the roundtable. The two newsy kind of things of expectations from BlizzCon, and part of our discussion on the roundtable is what's even happening with BlizzCon at this point, we'll see. But it looks like they may have some really, really big announcements. The two really big announcements that are kind of floating about right now are Overwatch 2, which would obviously be a huge deal because Overwatch was a massive, massive success for Blizzard. And then the other one that's going to be maybe more in our wheelhouse is a Diablo 4 official announcement. And so after the train wreck of a Diablo announcement last year of getting a truly legitimate Diablo announcement, and now especially on the heels of this terrible PR hit, could be a way maybe Blizzard is seeing to kind of to rebuild their reputation a little bit. This is going to be, and this gets back to the topic that we had on the roundtable. This is where I'm going to struggle. If they show off Diablo 4 and it looks really good, that's going to be hard for me. I don't care about Overwatch 2. I've played Overwatch just a little bit. It never grabbed me. It's just not my thing. But Diablo is. If they show us really good Diablo 2, it's going to be hard for me to stay mad at Blizzard.
Well, and the thing about Diablo, and I'm glad that you brought this up, because I wanted to defend myself the other day at the end of the roundtable. Chad kind of trashed all over me for playing Path of Exile. I'm going to say something that you're not gonna think I'm out of my mind, but for my money today, Path of Exile is the best dungeon crawler out there, period, since Diablo 2. It's better than Torchlight, it's better than whatever else you want to throw out there. The be all and end all, the Mac Daddy, if we're talking about current stuff, is Path of Exile. It's that good. And I wish you had time to play it. And so when you're talking to me about Diablo 4, if you are Blizzard and you bring out Diablo 3 2.0, for the first time in my life, I'm going to go, that looks cool, but I got this over here. Thanks. That being said, if you bring out Diablo as we know and love Diablo, like from Diablo 2, then you're going to make me look. And then I have to have that internal debate. In that, am I going to pick this up? Because I'm creeping up on 200 hours in Path of Exile. It's that good. And it kind of goes back to what you were talking about in the roundtable. I'm learning that the end of Path of Exile is about the end game. Like, if I really want to play Path of Exile, I got another 100 or 200 hours. When I beat the final boss.
Sure.
I don't know if I want to do that, but it's that good. So to me, it's what type of Diablo are you going to bring us that gets me involved?
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with that. And Diablo 3 ended up being a really big success for them. And so I could easily see them saying, you know, people that like Diablo 3 are a lot younger than people who like Diablo 2. And so it could be more. Yeah. I don't know. But to bring that into that kind of bigger conversation of if it looks good and compelling, am I going to want to play it? Of course, yes, I'm going to want to play it. And so this is a kind of, you know, like, how strongly do I feel about the other stuff? Do I feel strongly enough not to play Diablo 4? Now, the truth of the matter is, if they announce Diablo 4 at BlizzCon in a few weeks, it's not coming for a while still. So the billion things, we're going to forget about this whole thing by then, probably, but which doesn't speak well of us, but it's true. And so we'll be in a whole different place by the time this game actually gets here. But that being said, it still is that tension of where do your loyalties to, you know, a game, a franchise that you love end, and your loyalties to human rights begin, you know? And it's still just, I just don't have a good answer for it. I'm going to play Diablo 4.
And can I be honest? You posed a question during the roundtable that was very well put, in that, are we just going to sit around and feel like horrible people? Because we know what the right answer is supposed to be. All of us know what the right answer is supposed to be. But I didn't want to bring this up on the roundtable because it's a reference that only you and I would get. I watch PTI every day.
Sure.
And this has been a discussion on Pardon the Interruption with Mike and Tony. And Mike said something that resonated with me as an adult. He was talking about, they were talking about LeBron James and how LeBron James stepped in it talking about what Daryl Morey said and all of that. And Mike said, look, this is the first time that LeBron's really made a mistake, but let's be honest about something. LeBron has sold out because he likes his money.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike says, if you want to turn the camera on me, I've sold out. You've sold out. I hope to do it again. Yeah. Somebody hands me a check and says, sign this and we'll give you this if you sell out. Yeah, I'm going to sell out. Like, you and I have this podcast. If somebody walks up and says, here's a boatload of money, do you want to sell out? You and I are going to debate for like 3 minutes and then we're probably going to sell out. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was a very astute observation, in that we're all of us in the United States are sold out to something. And this gets around to the point that I wanted to make with you that we didn't talk about on the roundtable. You have been to China. You have family and a best friend that lives in China. The same person, by the way.
Right.
you know what being in China is about. And it ain't like it is here.
Yeah.
It's a different deal.
It definitely is. I'll share just a few brief kind of stories, experiences that I've had. So my brother-in-law lives in China and loves it, and he just has a passion for a country, has lived there for more than 10 years at this point, and isn't planning on coming back anytime soon
right.
on a permanent basis. But yeah, it's we talk about the difficulties of that fairly often, because there's a lot of difficulties with it. Just, you know, basic things of like getting on Facebook, because like that's a way, obviously, like within our family dynamic that we just share life, you know, like we post pictures of Genevieve on Facebook, you know, that's how we're able to share it with, you know, our family. And they can get on Facebook in China, but it takes work, you know, like there's ways you could do it and it takes some work. And they're fortunate to be able to do that from time to time, but it's not something like where I can just pull it up on my phone. They can't just pull it up on their phone. Like it's a more difficult thing. And when we were there, we saw that, you know, like it was pretty obvious. And that was coming up on 10 years ago. It's been a long time. But even then, and even more so now, it's so tightly controlled. And so the kind of similar services they have there. They have their own social networking that's heavily government regulated, and everybody there uses those because it's what they've got, and they don't know any different. I don't want to say this in a disparaging way, like they do know different, at least somewhat. I mean, they're savvy people. Like that's what I want to make sure the point I'm not making is I'm not trying to say that they're in some way super naive or whatever. They understand the situation, but they also understand the situation. They know the world that they live in and what that looks like. And so, yeah, when we were there just watching TV and, you know, like getting the sense of kind of propaganda of finding an English language Chinese station that was just propaganda and really basic things. I just saw a story the other day about a new Disney, I think it's Disney Pixar animated film that's about a Chinese family there's this big controversy because they show a map in the movie that is has a border that includes, you know, waters that everybody in the international community agrees belong to Vietnam and other countries around there, but China still says that they hold rights to. And so this map in the movie is the Chinese map, not the map that everybody else, the United States included, agree is the actual map, in order to appease that Chinese audience, just like these things with Hong Kong and everything else with the NBA that we've been talking about and on and on and on. And people there understand that, but are going to be, you know, accepting of that because they also want pop culture. Like the other thing I can tell you, being in China as an American, is it's the closest thing in my life I've ever had to being a rock star. Everywhere we went, like, people were enamored with us because we were American, and that was a super cool thing, you know, like they wanted to meet an American and take a picture of an American with an American. We talked about this at the time because we were doing the show back then too, of just how many random selfies I took with complete strangers in China because I was this white guy with a beard and long hair at the time, and that was a super novelty thing. But they love culture, they love, you know, video games, they love movies, they love entertainment, they love everything, but it all has to fit in that narrow scope of what's acceptable as well. And so it's creating a ton of tension that's not going anywhere. Again, there's a billion plus people there. It's, you know, four times the size of population-wise of what we are. They have a lot of power, and it's going to continue to be a thing.
And the thing is, they're going to have that power for a while. We debated on the round table. The discussion was had about voting with your wallet and all of that jazz. That's great. And that's something that you could definitely go to, but these aren't really the type of people that are like, yeah, you're right, we give up. Like, communist China doesn't really go that way. They kind of make up their mind and that's it. So, yeah, you can vote with your wallet, but are you willing to vote with your wallet for years?
Yeah.
Because 6 weeks ain't going to do it. 6 months ain't going to do it. 6 years probably isn't going to do it.
Yeah. But the counterpoint I'd make to that is American companies have a lot more leverage than they pretend that they have right now because the Chinese people want that content. And so, like, it's not only them providing a value in that there's just a bunch of them, right? Like, that is a huge market. But it's also the NBA and Blizzard and Disney all have products that those people want. And so far, they've been pretty miserable of using their own leverage in those ends. And so I think there's going to be eventually some more pushback there. It'll just be interesting to see. when it happens. The other quick just anecdote I'll share about when I knew I wasn't in America anymore is we got on a plane. Once we got into China, we flew around several different places in China on Chinese airlines, and they were great, and we had a good experience, and the people were great, and all of that. But there was a really bizarre moment where we were sitting on an airplane, and there was a guy like in the row in front of us that was reading Mein Kampf just right there on the airplane in Chinese, but very obviously Mein Kampf. And I was like, that's not something I've ever seen before. You know, like I've never seen like somebody just openly reading Mein Kampf, and it just kind of blew my mind. And then you see, you know, statues of Chairman Mao and you know, like it's very different. Like it's a wildly different world than what we are spoiled with here in America. And it makes me very appreciative of that as well. It's an amazing place, and it's great people, and I want to make sure to make that point as well. But it is very different.
And you have to worry about things there that you don't have to worry about here. I mean, we can talk about censorship and all of that all we want to here. It ain't nothing compared to over there.
No.
I mean, you touched on it as far as the propaganda goes. But like, I get nervous when you tell me you've talked to your brother-in-law and you know, he had this happen or that happened. I'm like, if that guy stepped the wrong way, he could get picked up. And that, I mean, that's a legit thing. He could very easily get picked up if he steps the wrong way.
Yeah.
And there's no qualms about that.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
But a bit of a not a counterpoint on that, because you're absolutely right, but a little bit also behind the curtain a bit is, he probably won't, though, because he's American. And again, that's an asset there. Like, they want that Western culture as part of their culture. And so he's at less risk than people he interacts with that, you know, could, you know, do whatever things that are against kind of the government oversight. And so, like, it's a lot more dangerous for native Chinese people than it is for him, because they want him there, you know, like this Western culture thing is something that they desire to have as part of their culture. And that's leverage that American companies have in pushing back a little bit. It's again, just waiting to see if any of them actually exert that leverage. So
hold up. One thing real quick before we wrap on that, I know we got to hurry cause we're late, but, I have to ask you, other than Diablo, what is something that, because I offhandedly said, if somebody writes us a check, we're going to debate on it for 3 minutes, and then we're probably going to take the money. But I'm wondering for us where that line is. Because we all think that, you know, you should do the right thing, you should say the right thing at all costs, until it comes to you personally. And that's what I've been trying to figure out, is where is my personal line?
Can I be honest with you?
In
this world, like, I don't care. We're talking about video games and they're dumb, you know, like that's ultimately the thing. Like, obviously, if like somebody like came to us and said, we'll pay you $1 million to do a podcast where you have to murder puppies on the air, I'm not going to do that, you know.
No.
But like, if somebody wants to pay us money to make podcasts about like Microsoft games exclusively, okay. You know, like, I don't feel that strongly about, like, this like weird ethical idea of video games. Like one of my favorite quotes, because I work in the music industry, and I need to figure out, go back and see who said this. An engineer or producer one was asked about using things like auto-tune and using other tools to manipulate performances and all that kind of stuff. And his response was simply, at the end of the day, I'm not making bombs. You know, at the end of the day, if I'm using auto-tune or if I'm using Beat Detective or if I'm using whatever tool it is to enhance this performance and you think that's in some way unethical for the performance, that's fine. We can have that discussion. But nothing am I doing is killing people. And so I can sleep well at night, you know? And that's kind of the thing for me. If we're doing stuff that's fun and then we're doing something different that's fun and it's nothing that's killing people, like, whatever.
And I joke a lot about, give us your money, we'll take all of it. But that's the honest truth. Somebody walks up tomorrow and says, here's money for doing what you do. Yeah, we're taking it. Like, yeah. Well, I have no qualms.
Yeah, that's a different thing, right? Like, we're not dealing with it with human rights violations, thank God, in our situation here. And so, yeah, we could be all ethical about stupid stuff until it matters to us, and then we can quickly get away from that, and it doesn't bother me at all. So, all that said, I have to wrap because I have to call the sexy sidekick really quick. And so I'll mention just go by the show notes, because there's obviously tons we didn't get to, including Doom getting delayed farther into 2020, and a link with 2,500 MS-DOS games that are now playable at the Internet Archive, which Woo-hoo! Is just amazing. Phenomenal. And then game releases, of which are not really big ones right now, because like I said, the dam's about to break on that. We're about to get into the era of big game releases. And so next week, we'll get to talk about those reviews of Outer Worlds and then see where we go from there. So, yeah.
All right, y'all know where everything's at. Y'all know the Facebook page. Y'all know the Twitter. Y'all know all that. Y'all know the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And now I'm a little freaked out because I didn't realize he had to call the wife. And
yeah, she just texted me. She wants to go to bed early. So
she's like 5 seconds away from being a little pissed at me, and I've seen that eye roll. And I don't want to see that. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We're Gaming Up for another week, and we're out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.